Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that?
Yeah.
No hassle?
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps.
Beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring amazing special guests from the cast and crew.
After that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U. AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to the show. Delighted that you are with us, and we'll be here talking University of Miami sports. And our first guest is going to be University of Miami, former University of Miami head coach, Jim Larrañaga. Hard for me to even say that. At any rate, we've been doing this thing for almost 15 years with Coach L, and I thought it would be appropriate that at least one more time, Coach L and I do a show together here on the station. And so we have Coach L with us, and Coach, good evening. How are you?
Hi, Joe. I'm wonderful, and appreciate you inviting me to come on.
Well, wherever I go, I get this one question. How is Coach L? So, Coach, how are you?
Yeah, I'm doing great. Joe, I'm keeping very, very busy. I've got a lot of irons in the fire. I started out, Joe, when I announced that I was stepping down on Thursday. On Friday, I started writing a book and, stories by Coach L, things that I have experienced as a coach with my players, different stories about people that I've spent time with, both on the court and off the court. And I'm enjoying doing it. I've written about 15 chapters already. I doubt it'll ever be published. That part is a real problem. it's funny, Joe, you asked the one question, but I was at a friend of mine's house the other day. Liz and I went for lunch at Adam Moskowitz's house. Adam's a big Miami alum and fan of the basketball program. His son, Buggy, was one of my campers. And he invited us to his house for lunch. And at lunch was Shannon Allen, Ray Allen's wife. And she has her own restaurant here in Coral Gables. Very successful woman in her own right. And we just got to exchanging stories. She told me about how Ray Allen wrote his book and who his co-writer was, and just had a lot of fun exchanging ideas.
I should ask you, are you driving Mrs. L crazy?
I'm trying to avoid that, but she keeps herself very busy. You know, when we first got married, Joe, 53 years ago, one of the things we found that was going to be very important for her is I was going to be traveling a lot recruiting. Back then, there was no limits on how many days you could recruit. You could actually recruit 365 days of the year. And in my first year, I was gone 200 days. So we sat down and talked about how important it was for her to not only have a life with me, but a life without me when I was doing all my traveling. And she's done an amazing job with that. Today, she went to a luncheon with 50 other women at the Gables Club and had a wonderful time. Yesterday, she played Mahjong. The day before, it was golf. She plays bridge. She has a full life, plus she's always taking care of me. You know, she traveled with us, Joe. You remember back about 6 years ago, she just started traveling with our basketball team on all the road trips. So she's been everywhere with us.
Well, if we go back a couple of weeks, how hard was the decision for you to stop coaching basketball? It's something that has been a big part of your life for, I think, what, 54 years? You kind of started off when you were a freshman in high school as a coach, but how hard was it for you to finally say you're going to do something else?
Well, it was painful. I can tell you, I never dreamed in my life that I would do something like that. I mean, I have not only this season, but two more years on my contract, and I love Miami. I love coaching basketball. I love being around the players. But one of the reasons we moved to Miami is because I had this vision in my mind, and it was a goal that I had set a long time ago. I felt like if I given the right opportunity, I felt like we could win a national championship here at Miami. You look at the football program's history, they've won 5 national championships. The baseball program has won 4 national championships. And when I was researching the job and wondering if that was the kind of thing I should go after, I thought, you know, the history of Miami athletics is storied. I mean, it's a fantastic athletic program. A lot of success in all the sports. The non-revenue sports have done extremely well. Our track coach, Amy Dean, she's the Olympic coach.
Right.
And Paige, our tennis coach, is really a Hall of Famer herself. Katie Meyer had just been named the ACC Coach of the Year, National Coach of the Year. I mean, so I felt like Miami is the perfect place for me to make my next move. And for the next 12 years, I think with a few road bumps, we were still doing exactly what I had envisioned. But about 18 months ago, when we got back to the Final Four, Joe, you know, everything changed. And I felt like I wasn't prepared for that. That we had to deal with 8 of our players coming back from a Final Four team, and we had only 2 guys were going to graduate and move on to the NBA. Everybody else was back. And then, you know, eight of the, like, 11 guys were planning to put their name in the portal and go someplace else. And my first response was in shock. My second response was as far as my knowledge was that we didn't have a collective. And then I found out, oh, we do have a collective, but I was the one that had to raise the money for the people to donate to the collective, and I didn't realize that. And so there was a lot of things going on. And then ultimately, after last season was a disaster and this season was heading in that direction, I just felt, well, you know, to be fair to the university, to be fair to Dan Radakovich and the athletic department, if I'm not the right guy any longer to lead this program, I wanted to give them every opportunity to find the right guy. And I stepped down in December. We had not yet played an ACC regular season game in January yet. We were about to start. I let the administration know that I just thought it was best for the university and the athletic department for me to step down, that I was no longer in my own mind the right guy for the job.
Moving forward in the future, I know you always wanted to be associated with the University of Miami. Will you still be connected with the University of Miami, or is that to be determined?
Well, it's in the process. I've met with Rudy Fernandez, who's our executive vice president, a wonderful guy. His 2 sons are campers of mine, and so I've gotten to know Rudy very well. He and the president, Joe Echeverria, have met and talked, and then I met with Rudy. So we're heading in that direction. I plan on trying to contribute in any way possible, whether it's to, you know, raise money or teach or be an ambassador in the community. You know, we're talking about a university that's a top 50 school in the country. So academically, it's a great place. We have all the resources. The university really is branded in a certain way. The first way is it's great academically. The second way, it's got a fantastic medical school and medical system with the hospital. You know, while I've been here, they built the Lennar Medical Center right next to the Watsco Center. And I know how good that place is because I give them a lot of business, Joe. I'm over there 2-3 times a week. I got more doctors than I know what to do with, but the reason I'm there is I wanted to stay in great health, and the best way to do that is, you know, not just get your physical, but anything comes up, you know, you got to stay on top of it. So, and I've got friends in the medical field and friends in the law school. And then, of course, probably the thing that people read about the university the most is the athletic department. And the athletic department oftentimes is the marketing arm of the university. You know, we've got great faculty, but you don't read about the great math department or business school as much as you read about the football program or the basketball program. And so you want those teams to do very well. You know, we see what Mario Cristobal did this year. I mean, winning 10 games and going on a winning streak and beating Florida and Florida State. And, you know, it's wonderful to have the stadium packed with Miami fans. You know, Hard Rock is a great venue. So, and then when the basketball program, you know, one of the things I'm most proud of, Joe, I think you know this, I still believe this is true, but we went 3 seasons where we were sold out. Every season ticket was sold for 3 straight years. And that had never been done before. And I know our basketball program was not able to keep that up, but I'm very proud of the success that we enjoyed during those first 12 years.
Well, I was thinking about this today. Over the last 14 years, you have provided you provided the best moments in the history of University of Miami basketball. I'm not sure that there was hardly ever a night where we walked into the Watsco Center and didn't think University of Miami did not have a chance to compete. And there were so many great wins. I could probably throw a dart at any one of the schedules and hit an opponent where it was an incredible night, whether it was for some reason a Michigan State game popped into my head today, a win against Virginia a couple years ago, the Carolina wins, the Duke wins, one game after another. You just gave this program so much. So on behalf of everybody, thank you for that. But it was a marvelous ride, and you made University of Miami basketball relevant.
Well, Joe, I have so many unique memories. My first year as the head coach at the University of Miami, we played Maryland on a Wednesday night, and I was sick as a dog. I didn't make the shoot around. I wasn't there for the pregame talk. And then at like 7:30, I finally started to feel better, got dressed, raced to the arena, and we beat Maryland like in double or triple overtime.
Yeah.
Remember, was it double or triple overtime?
Yeah. I think it was triple overtime.
Yeah, and we had Shane Larkin had cramps, and Justin Heller, our walk-on, was out there. And, we had another walk-on that year who got out there. He had to guard the best player in the league. I can't remember the details. He was from, like, Seattle, Washington or something. What was his name? Anyway, and then after the game, I got sick again. I was in the hospital Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and the team was leaving to go to Duke Saturday at 4 o'clock. I'm on IV fluids in the University of Miami Hospital. I got out, got to the airport, flew to Durham with the team. We beat Duke for the first game of since becoming a head coach. We played Duke at Duke, and we beat Duke in overtime. What a heck of a week that was. A triple overtime win against Maryland and an overtime win against Duke. And Shane Larkin, who had played against Austin Rivers in high school, they battled in the state championship game in the state of Florida, and Shane lost. And I told him before the game, no, tonight you're getting some revenge with your arch rival, and we did. Reggie Johnson tore them up, had like 28 points and 12 rebounds.
Maryland, it was 90-86. I should tell our listeners how committed you were not only to your team, but to all these shows, because there was a game at Boston College where I interviewed you before the game where we were in the training room and you were on the training table. And I interviewed you laying down on the training table.
I was getting IV fluids before the game. It was crazy. Hey, but Joe, how about year two? Year two, we're playing Clemson at home. If we win, we're the outright ACC champions for the first time in school history. And we beat them, and the crowd just swarmed right. The court. It's one of my happiest moments because it was something that we had not experienced before. And the crowd stayed on the court for more than an hour. I mean, we were cutting down the nets. People are hugging and high-fiving. One of my favorite campers of all time is Michael Cadre. And his dad, Manny Cadre, is the chairman of the Board of Trustees here at the university. And his son, Michael, was my camper from... He might have been like 6 years old when I met him for the first time. And he's been a part of some very, very special moments because when we won the ACC 2 years ago, the year we went to the Final Four, we brought Michael out on the court to help us cut the nets down. That's how much a part of the program he's been. So some of these memories, I mean, they last a lifetime, but they're not just mine. It's my family's memories. It's my players' memories. It's the university, the administration, the faculty, because we've got a fantastic group of professors and faculty members who, you know, make us what we are. And it's really been a lot of fun. I'm sad that it's over, but... We're looking forward to helping the next head coach continue and hopefully win a national championship in the next few years. I'd love that.
Me too. By the way, that Clemson game was 62-49. Before I let you go, will you have any input or offer an opinion or on the next head coach?
Well, that's not a part of my responsibility. Mm-hmm. I'm certainly willing to help if they ask for it, but you know, really, the responsibility falls on the shoulders of our great administration. You know, Dan Radakovich is the leader of the athletic department. Rudy Fernandez, the executive vice president, and Joe Echeverria were actually given the responsibility of helping lead the athletic department 3 years ago, or maybe it's 4 years ago now. No, I think it was 3 years ago. And then, of course, you have Manny Cadre, who was instrumental in bringing Mario Cristobal here. And, of course, Jose Mas, who's the member of the Board of Trustees who's in charge of athletics. And he was the gentleman that encouraged the University of Miami to hire me. That was 14 years ago. So I think the university and the athletic department, the basketball program, is in good hands.
I'll leave you with this. There's been talk that college football should have a football commissioner like Nick Saban. So I have a new idea for you. There are guys that have stepped away from the game recently. Yourself, Tony Bennett, Coach K, Roy Williams. So I thought we could have a commissioner's committee.
Well, I mean, I've had thoughts about the direction college athletics is going in. And, of course, I wouldn't have been stepping down if I was thrilled with this new landscape. But what I would what I think we should do is revisit the model that we have. I mean, what's happening, and I'll use football first as the example, the conferences are growing so large, the superpowers. And what I would like to see discussed anyway at the highest level of administrators, presidents, and athletic directors is if there could be one super conference for football, and then basketball go back to being smaller conferences. I mean, some of the travel that is being done now by programs like the ACC now is stretched out from New York to San Francisco, from Florida to San Francisco and back. I think, you know, college student athletes still should be considered students primarily, but that has changed dramatically because now, in all honesty, it's athletes consider themselves professional athletes because they're being paid.
Yeah.
And they're being paid very handsomely. And if they're going to be professionals, well, then there need to be professional rules. There needs to be transparency. There needs to be antitrust legislation to govern all this. There needs to be a collective bargaining agreement. There needs to be leadership. Right now, the NCAA, their history has been over the last 20 years that every time they're taken to court, they lose the legal battle. And just happens over and over again to the point they've, you know, quite frankly, quit fighting. And so something needs to be done. And hopefully someone a lot smarter than me can step forward and come up with a plan to get this thing back on track so that the student athletes get back to being students instead of just getting back to being transfer students. Do you know, the University of Miami is going to play SMU this weekend, Joe, right?
Yep, Saturday, 2 o'clock.
Saturday at 2 o'clock. And you know who the maybe the hardest guy they're going to have to guard?
I haven't looked at SMU yet.
I'm going to tell you then. It's going to be Matt Cross.
Oh, well, you recruited him.
We recruited him. He came to Miami. He spent his freshman year here. Then he transferred to Louisville, spent a year at Louisville, transferred to UMass, and now he's transferred to SMU. He's going to have played, or he's already have played, at four different universities. Now, I don't think that the NCAA envisioned the transfer rule creating this kind of chaos. So it's just so challenging because as players, let's use freshmen as an example. It's very commonplace now for a freshman at the Division I, especially, I was going to say Power 5 level, but not really, just everywhere in Division I. By January, that guy is figuring out, talking to his high school coach, his AAU coach, and his agent, listen, I'm having a great year. In March, I'm putting my name in the portal. Find me a place that are going to pay me more money. Or I'm not playing much. I'm not doing as well here as I anticipated. There's too many good players here. Put me in the portal so I can transfer someplace where I can get 35 minutes of playing time and get a substantial raise from what I'm making here. Because that is the reality of it. Kids are putting their name in the portal not once, but multiple times, looking for more and more money. It's understandable because everybody likes getting a raise. Right?
Yeah. Right.
If you tell everybody, hey, we're going to give you a raise, but you're going to have to move to another school, hey, I'll take the raise. But that's what led me to being at home and not on the court every day. Because that, I'm just so uncomfortable with that.
Well, I know you got to get back to writing that book, so I'm going to let you go. I will tell you, I think we returned to the Watsco Center this morning at 3:45, so I'm sure you don't miss that part of it, or didn't miss that part of it. Because I pulled into my driveway at about 4:30, I believe, last night. And I do want to say, you and I have been doing this show for 14 years, and I've been calling the games with you for the last 14 years. It's been a great ride, great thrill, and thank you for all of that, and thank you for the access that you have given us over the last 14 years.
Well, thanks, Joe. I'm a big Miami fan. I'm cheering for Coach Courtney and his staff and the team. I watch the games on television. And let's get a win on Saturday. Let's beat the SMU Mustangs. Get a W.
All right, Coach. We'll be talking to you. Thanks very much.
Okay, Joe.
All right, that's our University of Miami head coach, your former head coach, Jim Larrañaga. I keep forgetting to say add that part to it. At any rate, hope you enjoyed that 30 minutes with Coach L. Think he laid it out pretty well. And when we come back on the show, we'll go over what happened last night. We'll go over the Miami Duke game. Also jump into some football talk as well. So that's all coming up. More basketball talk in hour number two. But big thanks to Coach L for joining us. Hasn't talked to anybody since he announced his resignation. So we appreciate him taking the time to join us on the show. I know two people that are that miss him a great deal, and that would be Ed Williamson and Carol Williamson. I saw them the other day at the University of Miami basketball game. They had a great holiday, but they are very disappointed that Coach L had to move on, but they understand. And so we start the new year, 2025, and probably a good time to add some luxury to your lifestyle. If you want to do that, then I recommend Williamson Cadillac, because there's nobody better. They have built a loyal client base by staying focused on the customer experience. Customers there are treated like family. Coach L is a big customer at Williamson Cadillac. He's treated like family. If you want to enjoy world-class customer service, then you go to Williamson Cadillac. You can check out all of their inventory online at WilliamsonAutomotiveGroup.com, and then take yourself to the dealership. And it is, I'm telling you something, your eyes will be spinning when you walk into that dealership, because it's just beautiful. It's glorious. There's one Cadillac after another, and it's hard to make a selection. It's located on US 1 at 104th Street, just south of the Palmetto. But they'll be there to help you make that selection, to get you in a new Cadillac, and then you can enjoy all the luxury you deserve during 2025. Get the most out of the South Florida lifestyle and experience a new Cadillac from your luxury dealership, Williamson Cadillac. Williamson is Miami.
Now back to Hurricane Hotline on the home of the U, AM 560 and FM 96.5 HD2 WQAM. Driven by Williamson Cadillac. For value, style, and performance, visit Miami's premier luxury dealership. Click WilliamsonCadillac.com now. Here's Don Bailey Jr. and the voice of the Hurricanes, Joe Zagacki.
Harris over to Hubbard. Hubbard by Swartz, and he throws it out to Foster for a three-pointer that's good. 17 threes for Duke today. Equals their season high. 17 three-pointers. Knipples poured in 25. They poured in 17 threes. 17 for 32 from three-point range.
So Duke wins last night 89-54. They hit 17 threes. They hit 17 threes earlier in the season against Army. Duke had 25 assists
on 34 field goals. They had more assists than Miami had field goals. Duke plays with great pace and force. They're unselfish. They are very connected on both ends of the floor, especially defensively. They are headed for a number one seed in the NCAA tournament. Meanwhile, the University of Miami season has jackknifed. And if you go back to a year ago, this is hard to believe. Miami has lost 19 straight Power Four games, 19 straight to Power Four teams. They've now lost 16 in a row to the ACC. I just wonder how much damage is being done here. Miami is 4 in their last 27 games. Miami is 4-23. So I don't know. Somehow they have to right the ship. After the game, we spoke with assistant coach Cody Kimball regarding how Miami is going to try to solve some of their issues.
Yeah, that's a great question. And, you know, obviously our guys have been through a lot over the last two or three weeks. So I think, you know, some of it is mental, some of it is a confidence thing. I do know Brandon, AJ, and Jalen have been very faithful and diligent in working outside of practice, you know, in their shooting in particular. And, you know, we just got to continue to build those guys up. And, you know, hopefully some of those shots will fall. You know, I don't know moving up a level. I mean, I thought Brandon did some good things tonight. He had 7 rebounds, 6 points, 5 assists, no turnovers, but 0 for 5 from 3. And that's just an area where he's really struggled all year. And, you know, we got to continue to build those guys up. And surely you hope, you know, the shots will fall at some point.
Well, first of all, congratulations. You didn't take the fifth. So you took it on, took that one head on. But from I mean, you know, everybody thinks that a coach can wave a magic wand and, you know, you don't want to point a finger at one kid or one player. But what he's going through is almost impossible. 0 for 20 from three-point range and 20% just in normal, you know, field goal attempts.
Yeah, no, it's definitely been a struggle. And again, you know, difficult time for some of our guys. It's still a transition and an adjustment for them. You know, they lost their head coach.
Yep.
You know, we'll build them up. They're resilient. Kids are resilient. And we'll get back home to Watsco. We got SMU coming in, a good team. And we'll have these guys fired up and ready to go.
Brandon Johnson and Jalen Blackman in ACC games are 1 for 34 from three-point range. I've never seen anything like that. Brandon Johnson, 0 for 19, and Jalen Blackman, 1 for 15. Those are two players that you thought were going to be significant contributors. Jalen Blackman was a top 20 scorer in the nation a year ago, averaging 21 points a game. Brandon Johnson averaged 14 points and 8 rebounds a game. Between the two of them, they're 1 for 34 on threes in 6 ACC games. There is no way you're going to win that. Now, if you were to throw Nigel Pack in there, during his time, he was 0 for 7. And if you want to toss in A.J. Staten-McCray from three-point range, he's 6 for 19. Miami's leading three-point shooter in ACC games is Austin Swartz. He's made 12. So those are some of the issues that Miami is having. All of the good, you hope it doesn't tear down all of the good that occurred the previous couple of years when Miami went to the Elite Eight and the Final Four, but they are going to have to rebuild this program. That is clear. Saturday, it's Miami and SMU at 2 o'clock. It was announced that Darren Smith, former Hurricane linebacker Darren Smith, is going into the College Football Hall of Fame. No one more deserving than Darren Smith, national champion, All-American, Super Bowl champion. He goes into the College Football Hall of Fame, former Miami Norland Viking, great representative of the University of Miami, used to do our pregame show and postgame show. Very happy for Darren Smith, and a big congratulations to Darren Smith going into the College Football Hall of Fame. Mario Cristobal made some news also this week. New defensive coordinator coming in, Corey Heatherman coming in from University of Minnesota. Last year, now we look back at the Miami defense, ranked 68th in scoring defense. 25.3 points per game, 30 points per game against the ACC, gave up more than 40 points three times. New defensive coordinator comes in to Miami as a football lifer. He got some kind of background. Started off as a quarterback at a Division III school, Fitchburg State. Two seasons coaching overseas. 2 years as a grad assistant at a Division III program. 1 year at Northeastern. 4 years at Old Dominion. Then a defensive coordinator at a Division II program. 2016 division coordinator at Maine. Then on to James Madison for several years at James Madison. 2 years at Rutgers with Greg Schiano getting coached and mentored by Greg Schiano, and then defensive coordinator at Minnesota, where he had a top 10 defense, and now defensive coordinator at the University of Miami. Corey Heatherman will be the defensive coordinator at the University of Miami. We'll get his thoughts and his theory in a moment. Also, Carson Beck signing with the University of Miami, has the injured wing, of course, injured elbow, not sure how long it's going to be before he can start to throw. But Coach Cristobal addressed all of these situations earlier this week.
Coach Heatherman embodies what you look for, what I look for in a coach. And that being said, it's a guy that is an elite teacher. And from my interaction with him and the people that I know and trust that he has worked with and worked for, a tremendous human being. And emphasis is placed on him on being able to use the personnel, maximize the use of the elite personnel he has or he may not have. And for us, we're built to be a four down front and turn our edge players loose and be disruptive. And that's what he has done at really at all levels, and most recently at the power four level in the Big Ten, right? So really sound in communication. They play really, really physical. They tackle really, really well. They certainly force a significant amount of turnovers, and they put pressure on the quarterback, right? They make you play uncomfortable. What sticks out probably most and what we needed mostly for us is adaptability. Okay, like this past year, obviously, we had some injuries and in the secondary, and we weren't deep to begin with. And that's my fault, and I'm certainly not going to throw stones at a coach that was here or not. I appreciate everyone that's ever worn a Miami jacket, a Miami shirt, a Miami helmet, okay? But we didn't do very well defensively, and it was a steady decline. And at some point in time, regardless of your personnel that you have or you don't have, you got to be adaptable. You got to make the adjustments necessary to not be perfect, but to play as good as you can, get stops, and give yourself a chance to win. And I think that that really sticks out to me about Coach Heatherman. All right, but very detailed, gets after it. You know, he's obviously coached for Greg Schiano, who I have all the respect in the world for. You know, we know the types of defenses he's run and the type of turnaround he had here when he had a chance to go here. And Coach Heatherman is his own man, and he made the best impression and felt that he filled the need in the best way of any of the candidates in the country. I do know what it's about, and I didn't want to put him in a rough situation because, I mean, all these coaches, we have kind of relationships, right? And you put agents and coaches and programs in situations that are tough to deal with. But we have spoken about Coach Heatherman at length several times before this, and certainly a star in the making, coming off an awesome year. You know, you saw statistically what it is. I won't rattle off all that stuff and waste your time, but you're looking at a guy that is a really intentional, hardworking, great relationship and connection guy. Another thing that's at the forefront of this, right? Got to be connected to your people. That means both the staff and the players. And I think he is a guy that could certainly elevate the standard of our program defensively and from a cultural standpoint as well. Well, I think with players, you close 24 on the final 24 snap. And I think 25, it's never stopped. I mean, 25 has been worked on since 23. Does that make sense? You know, and the whole intent of us when we got here was to build a program that's sustainably a contender and a championship program. And so as you see, these pieces are starting to fill in because we are replacing some production on offense, but you're replacing him with guys like Elijah Lofton, who you have seen flashes of. That's a really high level, high caliber player. Guys like JoJo Trader, who stepped in the bowl game and had himself a touchdown and some big receptions. So the it's not stacking, it's bringing in and developing talent, so when their turn comes, whether it's right away or whether it's delayed a year or two, that they're ready to go. So it's never stopped. The new guys moved in on Saturday, I should say. On Sunday, yesterday, we had our team meeting, And we're out there on the field today. We're in full throttle, winter conditioning, strength and conditioning, lifting, running, implementation of systems. Now we have a coordinator in place as well. That hasn't quite started, but offensively we have. And these are high-level freshmen and high-level transfers. And it's not over yet. We just keep going. You know, the window hasn't closed for some players. And we'll aggressively pursue as it fits our needs. Well, a lot of reasons. I mean, if you watch him on tape, he had an elite year in 23 and a very good season in 24. He's been protected different ways, been through a couple of different system morphs, right? Coach Monken was there, and then I went to Coach Bobo, guys that I have tremendous respect for. There's some system carryover, and he's athletic, he's smart, he's got superior arm talent, he's accurate. He can extend plays. He can also sit in the pocket. He runs well. He is he's a great human being, and he has demonstrated leadership qualities, and he's really hard on himself, and he wants to be great. And one of the best qualities is he wanted to be here at Miami, you know, and that's gaining more and more value as we head into this next generation of college football. You got to want guys that want to be Miami Hurricanes as bad as they want to do and be anything else. A guy that's really geared and convicted upon having team success. We see all those qualities in him, and certainly looking forward to working with him. Well, I mean, there's always hope, you know, the sooner the better. I know we went through examinations yesterday, and everything's ahead of schedule. I'll probably have more clarity in maybe a couple of weeks, so I'd hate to say this or that. I know that certainly for the summertime, everything is scheduled to be full throttle, full go. But there is anticipation of maybe earlier. I just don't have it yet, and I'd hate to speak out of turn, you know. But I'm going to give it to you as soon as I get it. Well, if you can't practice, it's certainly not optimal. But certainly if you can be there and connect with your guys. And let me go back. Cam Ward was really successful because he was around and he connected. And those relationships then drove a collective work ethic. Right, a collaborative effort of guys that want to be great and want to win. And so, and he wants to be president and doing everything he possibly can, whatever that may be. So it's critically important to be around. If you can't throw, there's still a lot of things you can do that lead up to the game and or lead up to playing and practicing the game. And we are our return to play specialists in conjunction with, you know, the guys that did his work. I mean, already off to a great relationship, and they're going to ensure that he comes back better and stronger than he's ever been. And but you're looking at a driven, committed young man that recognizes opportunity, is grateful to be around a group of guys that are driven like he is driven, and is starting to see a lot of the pieces that is necessary for his success are starting to fall into place as well. And a guy like that, I always put a little pressure on them to go get some more pieces, right? Make sure that you do everything you can in terms of talent, personnel acquisition, and surround yourself with great people, great competitors, great human beings.
Okay, that's Mario Cristobal. Corey Heatherman, new defensive coordinator, comes to Miami from Minnesota, top 10 in total defense, 9th in pass defense, 9th in scoring, 16.9 points per game. Minnesota gave up fewer than 20 points in 8 of 13 games, primarily a four-man front. Minnesota forced 21 turnovers and had 17 interceptions.
You know, number one thing, the number one goal is we want to get ahead of the sticks. We want to stop the run. We want to try to make an offense one-dimensional. And, you know, when you get down to the red zone, I think elite teams run the football on offense, and I think elite defenses stop the run in the red zone. And, you know, the quarterback's going to be a runner down there, so it's a little bit harder. You know, now you got to defend all 11. And I know a lot of teams now, you know, the quarterback's going to be a runner anyway, but it doesn't matter who you're playing. Every team down there, the quarterback's going to be involved in the run game. So now it's a little bit harder because you got to defend everything. You know, now it's a little bit harder to throw the football down there. So we'll try to do some different things, you know, coverage-wise or concept-wise to challenge that and take away some of the excess throws. You know, I thought our defensive line did a really good job of stopping the run, getting us ahead of the sticks, forcing offenses off track. And that really gave us a lot of success down there in the red zone as we played football. You know, we're going to talk about being physical, and we're going to talk about swarming. You know, the three things I talked to them yesterday about, I want you guys to love football. Like, when you walk in the building, I want you to be excited to be here. You know, I want it to be the, you know, I can't wait to get to the football building. I can't wait to, you know, lift, run, eat, whatever it is, practice, watch film. I want them to enjoy being here. And then when we play, I want to be the most physical team. You know, we want to strike first. We want to strain all the way through. We want to, you know, finish, you know, on the ball carrier, on the ball in the air. but we want to be a physical football team, and then we want to play fast. We want to swarm. And I don't want it to be a thing where we're constantly thinking or we're, you know, there's a lot going on. We just want to line up, you know, understand what your job is, know my alignment, know my job, you know, make sure my eyes are in the right spot, and then go play fast. And that's the biggest thing we want to get across. And I told the guys yesterday, I was like, listen, there's going to be mistakes. There's going to be times we're wrong. I don't care in spring football. I don't, like, go do it, but be 100 miles an hour, because now you'll learn from it. And now that won't happen in the fall. You know, as we get through spring football into fall camp, you know, by the end of fall camp, we'll get that out. We'll get that behind us. So now you just have confidence. You have trust in the defense. You have trust in your teammates around you. And you just have a belief that we're going to go out and get a stop every single time. And, you know, I think that's been kind of how we've done it in this system in the past. And I think the guys just believe in one another. They play fast. They trust it. And, you know, there'll be mistakes. There'll be things that are wrong. But if we play fast and we play physical, I think that erases a lot of mistakes.
Okay, Corey Heatherman, defensive coordinator for the University of Miami. Again, big salute to Darren Smith going into the College Football Hall of Fame. Hour number two of the show, former Hurricanes basketball, assistant basketball coach Scott Howard, now an assistant with the Denver Nuggets. We'll talk college basketball and much more coming up right here on WQAM.